You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Greetings, friends. Welcome to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. If this is your first show, what we do here is offer you metal-related diversions that make your commute suck just a little bit less. We interview artists, we talk about the news, we discuss the history of this genre you all know and love, and we make a lot of jokes. The show is pretty much just jokes, really. If this is your 100th episode, thanks for sticking with us. If you like what we do and you want to hear more, you can subscribe to our Patreon and get bonus episodes of this show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and rate and review and all of those nice things. I'm Joe Thrashenkill, and with me I have my co-host, 365 Days of Horror.
Hey, hey, hey.
So, 365, what are you up to? How was your day?
It was a day. We got about 4 inches of snow this morning in April, and thankfully it was gone by this afternoon, but the never-ending, soul-crushing winter can be finished up about now. That'd be great.
I mean, speaking as someone who's in Texas, that sounds absolutely awful.
It pretty much is. It's as bad as it sounds.
Well, I guess on the flip side, you could have mosquitoes and encroaching malaria. So it really is what you make of it.
We get mosquitoes too, just not until summer.
Yeah. I guess I have no silver lining to offer you.
Yeah. But you probably get soul-crushing heat in the summer, though, I would imagine.
That is true. The AC went out in our house 3 times last summer, and having pugs, they don't really do well with that heat. So we're hoping that we don't come home to lifeless animals at some point this upcoming summer.
That would be awful. Like, genuinely awful.
Yep, we think so too. But how was your weekend? Did you do anything fun?
I can't say that I did. It was the holidays this weekend, so a little bit of Passover, not too much for Easter. How about your weekend?
We went to a dog parade that was not Easter specific, but was still delightful nonetheless. We have a strict limited family policy over the holidays, it seems. So a lot of it was just around the house. Although we did catch The Death of Stalin, which is an amazing movie.
I have heard it's really good. Actually, I've been told that I need to see it. I am extremely jealous of going to a dog parade, though. That sounds like probably the best day ever.
There were some really good pups. The personal favorite was a giant bulldog named Bogey, who was riding around in a children's wagon just covered in flowers and slobbering on anyone who got too close.
It sounds like he was also granting wishes just from your description.
I want to believe that. I don't have any empirical proof, but like that's what I'm really hoping for.
I'm gonna vote yes and say that was a wish-granting bulldog.
Well, then that is how we'll take it. So, for anyone listening in, you've probably realized by now that I am not Joe Thrashenkill.
I am probably not 365 Days of Horror.
Probably, but no guarantee.
No guarantees.
Okay. If that's true, then he is a very interesting facet of his personality that we haven't explored yet. So, in due time. But yes, we are the behind-the-scenes significant others, the ones listening in the other room when these shows get recorded.
And trying to be extremely quiet the entire time.
Oh, God, so quiet. And trying not to wince at the bad Italian accents coming from the room.
We live in the land of Italian accents, one way or the other. So, I am personally fine with the bad Italian accents because it's pretty bad around here.
I mean, I think the saving grace of us living in South Texas is there aren't too many Italians for Joe to offend with his bad Italian accents.
That's true. That's probably in his favor.
Fully agree.
They can be a little grumpy.
I've heard, again, limited experience, but
yeah.
I've heard. Well, just curious, how do you normally, like, has there been anything said in the recording room that you just kind of had to stifle a laugh at? Have you wanted to jump in at any point?
I feel like I try to stay out of the room just so I don't accidentally start talking and, like, jump in by, or, like, make a lot of noise because I'm not the most graceful person and have been known to trip and fall over my own 2 feet. So rather than mess up the recording, I usually just stay away. Although last week, I forget what they were talking about, but I almost wanted to comment on the discussion.
Uh-huh.
But now I can't remember what it was because a week was so long ago.
It was a lifetime ago. Yeah, I've been dealing with the Laura Ingraham fallout that's been going on. My job is one of the ones that pulled advertising. So it's been a time. A week feels like an eternity. But I know that I've wanted to jump in a few times with Joe's weeaboo comments. I say this as I look at a note on his monitor about weebs and metal.
I have enjoyed some of those comments. Technically being a weeb myself, mm-hmm. But and you know, one who's probably been a weeb for 20 years, give or take.
A self-aware weeb.
Yes, extremely self-aware, mostly out of, you know, secondhand embarrassment for my past sins.
Yeah, I mean, we all have sins. When I met Joe, he was talking about a show called Polar Bear Cafe that's just animated animals owning a cafe and running it. So he's not blameless, is all I have to say, guys.
That actually sounds pretty great. I'm going to look that up when we're done.
Concept is great. Execution, not so much, but I hope that they'll get it together. Well, all right. Do you feel like jumping into how you got introduced to metal and kind of, I guess, what that looks like for us?
Sure. So 365 was actually my primary introduction to metal. Because I didn't know anyone who listened to it until I met him, or not as extensively.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a show at the college radio station where we went to school. And eventually I kind of took it over, but it wasn't metal at first. But no one was playing metal at the station, so I just kind of took over that gig. And which resulted in also, like, managing all the free CDs that came into the station for metal, which I figured, why not? And it was actually, like, a really good way to find new bands and new music that I'd never heard before. So it was actually
awesome.
It was really fun. And I look back on it, I'm like, if I could still do it, I would. But that was a really long time ago. And I probably can't do it anymore. But
well, when you say took over, was it a peaceful transfer of power? Was it a bloody coup? How did you take control?
Thankfully, it was without bloodshed, although I wasn't afraid of some fisticuffs if need be. But there was literally no one doing the job. So it was more about, I think I asked the station manager, is anyone doing this? They said no. I said, could I do it? And they said yes, because it didn't really matter and they didn't really care. So it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. So since that point, I guess here's my question, because I knew nothing about metal before I started dating Joe. And what I'd been told was from a very Southern Baptist context of they're devil worshipers, they're scary. Was it the same for you that when you got into the scene, that was not the case largely?
It wasn't quite the same. My parents, it's funny. the only CD that I ever had taken away from me by my parents was actually Marilyn Manson's CD when I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
They let me read Stephen King, but I couldn't listen to Marilyn Manson, which, okay, probably not appropriate either way. But, once I was, you know, not a child, they really didn't care what I listened to. So that was helpful. But I also think a lot of the kids I was friends with in high school mm-hmm. were kind of stoners and like sort of metalheads, but not really. So it wasn't that strange. But I think it's also just I grew up in New England, and it's fairly liberal around here, all things considered. So
right,
I think that made a difference.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up Stephen King, because my mom gave that to me when I was 9, and she'd never read him, but
what?
She was like, well, you've grown out of the books that your elementary school has to offer. This is the one adult author that I hear tossed around, so, you know, I think it'll be at your level. And that's where I learned about all of the horrors the world has to offer.
Oh my, how did you sleep at night?
Really well, surprisingly. I think that, although I will say Needful Things was one of the first ones I read. And, like, I think I hadn't heard the phrase, these hoes ain't loyal at that point. But just walking around like, oh my god, we'd all sell each other out for a shitty artifact that the devil, like, you know, glamored. I think that influenced a lot of my early upbringing.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just slightly. but, I mean, it's interesting to hear, because I also didn't realize that there was such a metal community in the Northeast. And I know when 365 talks about just all of the shows, you must have gone to some really great and interesting shows in your time.
I have. I would say, I'm trying to think of like the absolute worst, and I think probably, I hope 365 hasn't told this story, but it remains one of my proudest moments, because I totally punched a guy square in the jaw.
Yes.
So it was when we went to see Typo Negative, and if anyone who had the pleasure of seeing Typo Negative live, can attest to the fact that their fans are kind of universally terrible. And so this was also a Wednesday night in the middle of winter. The venue was not full. At one point, Peter Steele, RIP, I still don't know why he didn't win the hottest men in metal bracket, by the way. That was a crime. Someone has to answer for it.
I think there was some bias. I know that I have questions myself as to why Father Damien didn't win, but then Joe tells me he's not really fully metal, and then we have that conversation where I just think his beauty transcends all music genres, but that's
agreed.
A battle for another time.
It is. But back to this terrible Typo Negative show, and the band played really well. Their stage presence was delightful. At one point, Peter Steele was drinking straight out of a bottle of wine, as he did. And he started kind of flinging it onto the crowd and saying, "The power of Christ compels you," over and over. It was great. And then he kind of just stops and, like, leans into the mic and says, "You should probably get an AIDS test after that." And I swear to God. And this woman in the crowd screeches, "That's my kind of man."
Oh, God. And she also has a Joker and Harley Quinn tattoo on her back, I'm sure.
Probably. But the worst part of this show was later on in the evening, there were these two women next to us who just kept bumping into me in 365. And not in an accidental way, in a I'm just going to be rude and bump into you kind of way. So I pushed them, perhaps harder than I should. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a bunch of dudes go after 365. And this guy was standing by the melee. And this was when I was fairly new to metal shows.
Uh-huh.
And I was just kind of like standing there like, oh my God, they're going to kill my boyfriend. And this guy was standing off to the side like, yeah, get him. So I looked at him and I clocked him square in the jaw. Now,
yes.
Did I do any damage whatsoever? No. I've got the reach of a five-year-old and the arm strength to match. So nevertheless, it was really satisfying to see the look of pure shock on his face. Thankfully, we did not get kicked out. 365 asserts that that was purely because I was there, and it somehow it looked like he was protecting me instead of a bunch of guys just randomly going after him. But even though typo negative was great, that's probably the worst show we ever went to.
Well, it is awesome to hear that you decked a dude in the face, number one. Yeah. But so I'm curious, when they were going after 365, was it like, I'm going to fuck you up, or was it a mosh thing?
It wasn't a mosh thing. It was definitely like intentional malevolence, which I am not down with. I mean, that's how not great their fans are historically, I guess. Because whenever we tell that story to someone who's been to a typo negative show, they're like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Goddamn. That sounds awful. Like, I mean, when I first started going to shows, Joe had to educate me on, like, what was malevolence and what was just dudes throwing each other around because they were having a great time. So, in the beginning, like, I definitely kind of went in, like, very defensive, just watching out for Joe. I didn't expect anyone to come after me, but I was like, I will break someone's nose. And then I had to realize, like, there's a good kind of throwing around and a bad kind of throwing around.
Yeah, I mean, neither one of us has ever been down for the good kind of throwing around, to be perfectly honest. But this was definitely not the good kind either way.
Jeez. Well, kudos to you for decking somebody in the face.
Thank you. It was, like I said, it's one of my proudest moments. And the set wasn't bad. Looking back on it, I'm glad we went, because I think Pete Steele passed away a few years later. And so that I would have felt like it was a missed opportunity if we hadn't gone.
Well, and a great story. So even if 365 has told that story, which I don't know if he has, but it's amazing to hear it for the first time. So good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you have any terrible show stories?
I think my problem is that I don't realize things are terrible in the moment. And it's not until I reflect later that I'm like, oh, that probably wasn't cool. But I will say that we went to... Actually, Joe has been great at selecting shows. My first one was Ghoul, which I'm super into horror. So that was the best nexus between metal and horror. Just seeing fake blood sprayed out across a sea of people was really cool. And then I will say, like, I guess it's seeing other people get fucked up on the ground and not being able to help them, which sounds like a really, like, mothering thing to do. But one of the writers and readers of the post of the blog, we went to a show with him, and he ended up just, like, getting his face super fucked up by someone's elbow. And it was just like a giant knot on the side of his face, and his eye just like completely closed. If he's listening, you know, shout out to you, miss you. But that was the hardest one, because it was just so hard to see like him hurt, even though he was fine. He would be fine. So yeah. But I think Ghoul was probably one of my favorite. We saw Oathbreaker, and I'd never seen a woman perform at a metal show, and just hearing her vocals was absolutely insane. Like, it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
That does sound awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I think, right, like, with what they do with the blog and the site... It's really cool to see women have a space to talk about how the metal community isn't as accepting. So having the chance to see, like, Vaginal Bear Trap when they had their singer still a part of the group, and Oathbreaker, it's really cool to have those opportunities to see a side that doesn't get that much attention.
I agree. I think that I appreciate that, having come from being involved in the metal scene in a very small way when I first started listening to metal with the radio show. And
yeah,
even when I was helping 365 with his show, dudes were creeps. I'm not going to lie. But it's, and I feel like even this was probably about 8 or 9 years ago. So it didn't feel like the scene was welcoming even then. And it's, I don't think it's as welcoming as it should be now, but it's so much better than it used to be. And I think Toilet of Hell helps in that small way, just by making it a space where it's not, you know, the same butt rock bands over and over.
Right. Or they actually call out people when they're child molesters or actual Nazis.
Or murdering Nazis, as the case may be.
Oh, God. Yeah, there was a time when I guess I didn't understand how taxing it was to kind of break these stories for all writers involved. And then as I became more active on like Twitter and just reading about what everyone was calling attention to, it was like, oh, you love this genre, but so much of this genre like needs to be reformed, or people actually need to stop like participating if they're killing people or beating women. Like,
it seems like such a novel concept.
Yeah. And I mean, especially during the Me Too movement, to see it trickle into the metal community. It's just, it's fascinating that when you talk about politics staying out of art, all of a sudden it becomes felonies should stay out of art and just heinous crimes.
And you, that, but you'll still also have people who are like, but the music means so much to me. It's like, yeah, but that guy killed someone. That really happened. So, you know, how important is the music at that point?
Right. And have you ever had the conversations, like, I guess I should say IRL, like, because I see them happening online, but I can't imagine someone actually saying this out loud and not hearing themselves.
Thankfully, I haven't been subjected to that kind of conversation IRL, because I'm not sure I could be cool, calm, and collected, and just not start yelling about various things and waving my arms like a, you know.
And hopefully clocking someone else. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it comes down to it, I certainly would not hesitate. But I would rather not, you know, injure myself, cause undue stress, pull a muscle, that whole right. thing.
All of the things attached. Yeah. But yeah, it's been really encouraging just to kind of see, like you were saying, see the wave of change. Because it is really cool to be a part of these shows or to go to these shows and see, like, a bunch of women there who, honestly, like, the women I see look like some of the strongest people just visually and the way they carry themselves. And it's like you want that to be more accepted and to just see it flourish and not have dudes creeping on them.
I agree. Just because it's not about, like, I think people sneer at the whole safe space concept, but I think people should just be allowed to exist, like, and not have to worry about getting harshed or gatekeeping is another problem too. And I've certainly experienced that where, because I'm newer to metal, you know, I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. And just having existing metal fans kind of question that, it's just tiring. I don't care if I don't know everything. I like the music, and that should be enough.
How often does that happen to you?
Not as much as it used to. I think when I was at the radio station, it happened a lot more. Or like there were a couple of times that it happened when I was helping 365, where like, I think I still remember one call where a guy requested the band from Metalocalypse, and I didn't know it was the band from Metalocalypse, and he was just trying to be funny. But, like, obviously at my expense. And
gotcha.
It, you know, because why would I watch Metalocalypse? It's, not that interesting. And
those will have been fighting words for somebody.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. But, you know.
Yeah. No, I get it. And it's like, at that point, who's the real asshole dude? The guy who took time to call into a radio station, or someone who, like, a quick Google search will tell them just as much as you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can Google search, my friend. I can Google search you into oblivion, but, you know.
Yeah, don't fucking tempt me, because it's coming. Like, yeah. Well, I think, and again, these are probably fighting words, I think people who gatekeep, like, that's really the extent of what they have to offer individually. So it becomes a thing of, like, this is the thing I feel like I'm an expert in, and I'm going to make you feel like shit because you can Google search this or beat me on XYZ, like, other levels. Joe might have to edit that out.
Yeah. but I think about it, too. Oh, you know, like I said, I'm a light, you know, a longtime weeb, longtime nerd, and we have the same problem in the nerd and weeb communities. But, you know, the fact that people, metal for so long has been kind of an outsider genre. So, mm-hmm. But an outsider genre for a very specific type of outsider, i.e. a white male outsider. So when other people start getting involved who are different, suddenly those outsiders feel like it's not their space anymore. And that's where the gatekeeping comes in.
It's just so funny to me that I think if you really love something, you want others to enjoy it as well. And that just seems lost on that.
Yeah.
But that's a very romantic view of something that, you know, might not necessarily apply here. But to really frustrate Joe, do you mind if we steer this conversation into weeb things?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I'm very interested in what some of your favorite weeb show or movies are.
I don't know if we have time for that.
We can do, if you're okay, like top two.
Top two. So I grew up watching Sailor Moon, and I think anyone who's listening who's even remotely familiar with anime is going to be like, oh, of course it's Sailor Moon. But it's been on that, you know, it's 30 years old, and it's still relevant and being watched all the time, and it's still extremely popular. So joke's on you, pal. Joke's on you.
As someone who also grew up watching Sailor Moon, it's nostalgic, but it's actually, like, worth the nostalgia. It's not like you go back and realize that it's, like, a piece of shit. So, yeah, fully support that.
Now I have to come up with just one number two.
Just one.
God. The pressure's on. Well, I guess to steer it into another realm, the Legend of Zelda franchise. The first video game I ever beat was a Legend of Zelda game on my gray, blocky Game Boy back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been playing it ever since. Not all of the games because, you know, we weren't made of money and couldn't have all of the video game systems, but I've played a lot of them. And of course, I feel like anyone who plays video games regularly has been playing Breath of the Wild since it came out, as have I. And it's just phenomenal. So yeah, I'd say Sailor Moon and The Legend of Zelda. Surprising absolutely no one who knows me.
But those are two very solid choices. I think that I would probably go with Sailor Moon, and then my number two would be One Piece, which if you're groaning at Sailor Moon, you're probably groaning at One Piece as, like, an obvious choice. But, well, fuck you, Mr. Listener, because it's a good show and it's delightful and they have giant seahorses that wreck shit up. So that's all I gotta say.
I've never actually watched One Piece because I think my tastes tend to go for anime. It tends to go towards more magical girl stuff than anything else. But, gotcha. Just giant seahorses, that sounds great.
Very limited time in the series, but they make an impression. I'll just say that.
It sounds all like right. It.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else you'd like the fans to know? Any deep, dark truths about 365, or do we end on a high note?
I say we end on a high note, mostly because, you know, I don't want 365 to be too mad at me for exposing any deep, dark secrets. Not that he really has any that he hasn't already shared, I'm sure.
Gotcha. Well, in that case, this has been Brittany. I don't have a cool metal name. I just have my own.
And this has been Megan, or when I was on the radio, I called myself Ms. Megan for some reason. I thought that sounded better, but I'm Megan either way.
That is awesome. You definitely should use Ms. Megan.
But maybe next time.
Ms. Megan the Man Puncher, something like in that vein.
I might have to start using that now.
Well, it was nice talking to you, and I hope that you have a good night.
It was lovely chatting with you. Yeah. I'm going to go grab Jordan from wherever he's hiding.
Recording. We can see what we want. Oh, damn it. Puberty again. Voice just changed. Fuck.
Excuse me.
Weird. You too?
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. Manly stuff. Push-ups. Yeah. Push-ups.
Beer.
Dying guns? At an early age.
yeah, all that cool stuff. Now I was driving home from work today, and I passed by a guy that had two stickers on his car. The sticker on the left just said beer and titties, and the one on the right said Jaden, number 12, Little League.
Poor Jaden.
Yep.
There's no hope for Jaden. There never was hope for Jaden, but
no, yeah, there's not. Now we know. Anyway, well. Gonna be honest with you, man. I didn't listen to the last 30 minutes of the show, but I assume it was pretty good.
Yeah. Lots of swear words and, like, really inflammatory commentary, but, you know, good stuff.
I heard a couple of, like, hard racial slurs, and I was like, I'm out. I don't want to listen to the rest of this, so. We can't endorse anything that came before this, but we can offer you a good rest of the show here, at least. So, I am the real Joe Thrash and Kill with me. I've got the real 365 Days of Horror. We just recorded a bonus Patreon-only podcast episode a couple of days ago. And for my money, this is probably one of the most interesting episodes we've done because we talked about media conglomeration. And if that doesn't sound exciting, you probably have an incredibly short attention span because it affects... you know, the artwork that you're able to make and how it's heard. So, you were telling me a little bit more about, was this, Sinclair Media?
Yes. Yeah, Sinclair Media is the big bad that like everyone's talking about this week, thanks to Deadspin, who put together a supercut of a bunch of local television stations that Sinclair owns, all reading the same exact pre-prepared script, talking about how they're fighting against fake news and we're the real news, and they're not mentioning how their political desk is being run by Boris Epstein, who was on Donald Trump's campaign for president.
Yeah, no, I think it's extremely cool when one company with extreme beliefs purchases every broadcast within the country and then gives your grandmother the exact same fear-mongering news every week. I think that's very cool.
And they have a merger coming up. I think if it goes through, they're going to be in like 72% of the homes in the entire country.
Badass. They do the This Week in Brown Terror, right?
Yeah, they do terror alert minutes. They've been doing it for a while, just to make sure you're scared all the time.
It's like mandatory Metallica on your local classic rock station.
Every station has that. And it's always like, for whom the bell tolls.
For some reason, every DJ becomes Jose Mangan for that 1 minute.
Oh, yeah. They get so into it. Mandatory Metallica.
Yeah. I think they're just excited that they don't have to play Papa Roach for 5 minutes. But yeah, no, it's cool. We'll check in on the latest Muslim terror and then we'll check in on how global warming isn't happening and how great of a job Trump's doing. I think that's cool and healthy that the oldest and most feeble among us is going to be watching that every day.
At least television's dying and all the young people have moved to the internet and streaming services. That's something.
But old people don't have anything to do but get scared watching TV and vote. So we're in for a little bit of trouble with this, I reckon. If this merger goes through, TV will suck even harder than it does now. Actually, I take that back. Maybe Sinclair will also do The Simpsons at 6 and 6:30 like they had it when I was a kid. That wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, are they going to just stop with television? Why not, like, start buying up record labels? Like, why not? It's a place to make some sort of money. And who knows, some sort of executive, maybe they like a couple of Metallica songs and they want to use metal as their little toy to throw away a couple million dollars. Maybe they have a little kid who likes some of this stuff. So,
wouldn't be out of the ordinary for somebody with extreme right-wing politics to take an interest in metal.
Are you thinking of anyone in particular?
Oh, just pretty much everybody that that caused a big stink about libtards on Roman's article about reactionary politics and metal.
Don't ever look at the comment section.
I didn't actually... There was 600 comments on that thing.
Jesus.
There was some reason to be. I like to look at the discuss panel and see what's going on just to make sure that, nobody's being an asshole. And it seemed like there was some reasonable discussion, and then some other people that were just like, fuck you, communists, I'll kill you. And I did my best to bofa those guys and then ban them.
It's always fun when people who never comment on anything manage to show up on those articles.
Yeah. But I mean, they're hardly alone. We can get into it later, and I'm sure we will with, people actually making waves within the genre itself with these beliefs. But Sinclair, I don't know. They could take over, all of those radio stations being cleared out by the loss of iHeartMedia. They could start, playing nothing but contemporary Christian music across the airwaves, too.
Yeah, I mean, they can create their own competition if they wanted to. Why not Sinclair buy Century Media, Nuclear Blast, Prosthetic Records? They have their own radio station, so that way people like us who don't want to listen to the Christian stations they own or the hip-hop stations they own will listen to the metal station that they own.
Yeah, We touched on it a bit on the Patreon episode, but a lot of people still listen to the radio. A lot of people still buy music. This would have real effects across the entire industry. I mean, I'm sure that your porno grind band wouldn't be affected. Crotch Monster is still pure. We'll never quit.
We'll never sell out.
Yeah, but for other ones, I don't know. What do you think might happen?
Well, isn't Roadrunner, didn't they get bought up or absorbed into, like, Sony or some other bigger, like, entertainment group?
I believe you're right. I think it was, 2 years ago. I could have sworn it was some kind of European label just kind of absorbed them.
Yeah, I mean, something like that could happen. I don't see why not, especially with the rich getting richer and just having a couple million to throw around. Like, why not just buy up the band you like?
What kind of bands do you think who is this fella, the program manager for Sinclair? Who did he say?
Boris Epstein.
Boris Epstein. What do you think his favorite band is?
His favorite band is probably The Sound of Animals Dying. Have you ever actually seen this guy? It's worth looking him up. John Oliver on Last Week Tonight actually had him a clip of him giving a little speech on the channel, and he's like, I can't believe this guy's 35 years old because he looks like John Favreau's father. Yeah.
Oh my god. evil does a thing to a guy. It makes you look like shit.
Makes you look like a sack of potatoes.
Oh my god. There's a picture of there's a mugshot here of him. It's worth noting his last name is not Epstein, it's Epstein.
Oh, yeah, it's spelled so you don't think he's Jewish.
Yeah. What is it that this right-wing paranoia that causes faces to bloat? Because Ted Cruz isn't that old either. He looks like warmed over shit, too.
He is an extreme example of looks for anyone.
Well, I assume that Boris has ears to the ground everywhere. You know, he knows what's happening in broadcast. So I look forward to him hearing our podcast and hearing us insult his horrific looks. Boris, you look like a burnt kettle corn.
You ugly, dude. You ugly.
You ain't got no alibi. You ugly. Well, and one of these I think that you're onto something here. One of these pictures, he's in front of the little placard for Sirius XM satellite radio.
It begins.
It begins. I don't know, man. If he wasn't ethnic, I would have said that he was a fan of Screwdriver.
He probably is anyway. He's one of those self-loathing ones like Ben Shapiro.
Oh, that guy sucks too. Well, our future is horrifying. Is there anything good happening?
Death will come swiftly for all of us.
Tight. That's pretty tight.
It's the great equalizer, so we have that to look forward to.
I like it. Cool. So Sinclair Media taking over the airwaves, and hopefully moving into the cassette trade too.
Sure, why not? Maybe we could start lobbying them now.
Yeah. Well, shit. What else have you seen going on this week?
Well, speaking of reprehensible people with terrible political ideology, our friends in Watain are in the news again.
Watain. I don't know why their name always reminds me of like Pootie Tang. It was one of his nonsense words.
Because you want to go. Whoosh.
Exactly. Sepetow on the run, Ikan. Watain. But yeah, they. I saw the photo of them with their touring guitars throwing up a Sieg Heil, where they're all wearing their matching bikey jackets and looking super tough, even though that they're in their 40s and emaciated as fuck.
And they're trying to say it was like a joking gesture, and like they're all having fun, and none of them look like they're having fun.
I don't know if they're capable of having fun, like. Being so serious about your bullshit made-up beliefs seems exhausting. And also, yeah, same thing. The look on those guys' faces, they've been ridden hard by Satan and put away wet with animal blood.
It's funny. It's the guy that did the Sieg Heil is the same one that did it a few months ago where there's video footage of it. And they always try to explain it away that the band isn't about politics and this and that, and she's like, how many times is it possible for a member of your band to do this without at least someone saying, maybe you shouldn't do that?
Well, see, you don't understand. When I get caught doing something stupid, that's not political, even if it's entirely ideological in nature. You weren't supposed to see that, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, well, you know? he's not sorry that he did it. He's sorry he got caught.
Yeah, well, that's... that's the case for every apology ever made.
Yeah. I'm sorry I screwed up and you found out.
So they gave, stop me if you've heard this one, they gave a insufferable interview, too, that you pulled up. Somebody showed it to the Facebook crew. Do you have that open in front of you?
I do. And it's an interview with Watain's Eric Danielson, not like spooky gut stabber, you know, goat penis von goat vagina, just Eric.
This is the one that looks like, shit, what is the little guy in basketball?
Squeak. Squeak Scolari. Little bitch.
Yeah. I'm just saying he looks like he might be about 5'2" and speak exactly like that. I swear to God, you guys rip on me 5-6 more times, I'm out of here.
So, yeah, they did a quick interview. It was posted on a website I don't think I've ever gone to before, Metal Wani.
Wani.
Do we know, okay. We know anything about that?
I don't know a single thing about Metawani, but I like the name.
It sounds fun. So he gives a typical black metal spooky dude interview, and I'll just read this one little bit. On being asked about Watain's brand of black metal in the so-called, quote, age of morality, Danielson said, yeah, it's a good thing. I mean, I should probably read it like him. Yeah, it's a good thing. I mean, records like this will keep on coming out no matter what happens. No matter if we got the new Tipo Gore in the Antifa, that's exactly what it is. People are scared of diabolical things. These things, the devil always wins. It's an old lesson learned. If people want to try to fight him, be my guest. It's a battle lost before it's even begun for these people. Come on, dude.
I'm horrifically lapsed Christian, but I grew up, you know, with the church and the Bible and all that. And I recall reading about that big horned winged guy we all know and love, Satan. And from what I recall, the mentions of him in scripture, he wasn't exactly a winner. It seems like he kind of got cucked pretty hard by God. You know, cast out and everything, getting the leftovers, the unrighteous. Just, and the whole Revelations thing, I believe he's defeated. So, I don't know. I don't know which book he's reading from that's the winner overall. Also, just judging from the people that I've met that have considered themselves real-life Satanists, it's not a winning crop.
He's probably not even gotten to that part of the Bible. It's like Nazis whose favorite movie is American History X. They just haven't watched the last 10 minutes. It's probably the same thing for him.
Possibly. Also, I watched American History X recently, like for the first time in about a decade. That movie does not really go through any efforts to make Edward Norton not look cool. So, I don't know. That could have been reconsidered a bit. I don't know. What do you make of this? You think that he's onto something here?
I'm just so sick and tired of specifically black metal, but in general, musicians who think they're spooky and evil. It's like, dude, you're in your mid-30s and you play guitar and your name's Eric. Your mother's name is Helga and your dad's name is Thorbjorn. Like, you're just a dude. You're not evil. You're not some sort of malevolent force. You know, take a dump in the morning like everyone else. Your tummy hurts when you eat bad food. Like, no one's buying it anymore.
I got into it with I'm not gonna. Yeah, David Hall, who is a cunt. he's really a former label owner, doesn't have a label, so he doesn't matter, his opinion doesn't matter. But he's really into this whole anti-PC crusade. He doesn't like the PC, he's a Mac person. he was liking it that, you know, you don't have to have any morality in black metal. But I would like somebody to explain to me the difference between being a black metal musician and being a stamp collector. Or a model train enthusiast, you know? You're really, really, really into your hobby, but your hobby is a distinct departure from the rest of your life, and there are rules to it. Just like there are rules for model train collecting. I mean, you can't put a caboose in front of the engine. That just wouldn't make any damn sense. The rules of black metal are that you need to play tremolo riffs over blast beats, and that's really it. It's a style of guitar and drums. It's not a pact with Satan.
It's not a way of life.
It's like watching a horror movie and thinking it's real. You are actually a child.
You play dress up. You wear the specific clothes that you think you're supposed to wear. You paint your face because other people do it. And then you get up on stage and you follow the rules because you play your 30-minute set, and then you get off, and then you get back on the bus, and then you drive to the next place where you do the same thing the next night.
Yeah, if you want to do something shocking, you could just play dates that you agree to sporadically. You know, really screw the venue owner and the promoter, which would actually be kind of funny. You could not play blast beats and tremolo riffs one night. Instead, you could play polka. That would completely break the rules.
Yeah, yeah. Sing nice love songs about your sweetie.
Yeah, which, again, this is why... Seth Putnam had all of these black metal dudes beat in every way. He did, you know, the Picnic of Love record that completely, you know, threw all grindcore expectations under the bus. And they also did Impaled Northern Moon Forest, which was the truest black metal record ever made.
And he also, you know, shat heroin during a show. So there you go.
Perfect. He wrote a song about how being in a coma is gay, and then he went into a coma to prove it.
He's just that committed. Think about that the next time one of these black metal guys has to go to the local butcher to ask for a pint of blood to splash around on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. Just ridiculous. Ugh, the nerd.
Cowards.
I would love to get somebody like Norm MacDonald's take on all of this. He seems to... You know, I've kind of given up on comedy for the most part recently, but I feel like that guy could offer a lot of insight into what's going on right now with these guys.
Yeah, as long as you grab him and, like, just keep him to, like, 2-minute chunks, I think he'd be okay before he wanders off and starts tweeting about golf or saying slightly concerning things politically.
Yeah, yeah, something about being a 60-year-old man does weird things to your brain. I'm sure that, you know... In 30 years, you and I are going to have mad problematic beliefs, right?
I'm sure we will. I can't believe you said that word, Grandpa. What? That's what we used to call them.
Nerd was an acceptable term back in my day.
It was the 2018s. Everyone was saying it. Everyone was eating Tide Pods. And snorting condoms.
Yeah, threatening to toss... A black metal nerd into a locker was not hate speech. That was just what you did.
Who knew the lockers didn't like that?
Yeah. Of course, that was before the great ecological collapse, and we all had to swear fealty to Jeff Bezos, but different times.
That, you know, that's... We were warned with the storage wars on TV. Who knew?
Well, man, I was... I saw an interview earlier in the week with Isan, emperor guy, whatever. He was basically saying that you can't be PC and be cult at the same time. I just don't know why, knowing everything that we know in 2018, why anybody would willingly want to consider themselves like enthusiastically and unironically refer to themselves as cult.
I think a lot of these black metal musicians and these try hard spooky dudes are stuck in like that 18-19 year old mentality when they first started doing this and got a little bit of success, and it's like going back to the well time and time again. It's just like, this worked for me then, I might as well keep doing it.
I can't argue with that. That makes a lot of sense to me. It's a little sad, and I bet it might be a little bit disillusioning for black metal fans to think of their heroes as basically Al Bundy reliving the glory days of that one time that he scored a touchdown in the game.
Oh, I think it was like 4 touchdowns in a game.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen Married with Children, but yes, exactly.
Give the man his due.
I wasn't always a shoe salesman.
Yeah, it's just funny hearing people talk about PC. Like, I remember in like the early mid 90s, people were talking about being PC and how you shouldn't be PC and all that. It's like, this is 20 years later, and if anything, things are starting to move more progressively, slowly. In some ways, some things are getting regressive, but overall, like with each new generation, things are moving towards that direction.
I remember the first wave of PC stuff pretty well, due to listening to Rush Limbaugh in my dad's car. And I remember a lot of this initial wave of it was this just completely ignorant and hateful reaction to shit like Clarence Thomas' confirmation hearing, in which it was revealed that he had, sexually harassed Anita Hill. Anita Hill, yeah. And it's like, you can't sexually harass your secretary now? You can't put your one of your pubes in her Coke can as a prank? What is this? This is PC madness gone wild. It was stupid then, and it's stupid now. The one good thing that came out of all of that shit was the Jeremy Piven film PCU.
I love that movie.
I love that movie, too. I gotta say, I think we ought to do a show all about that movie at some point, just because it's great. It's the last time that Jeremy Piven didn't have a hairpiece on.
Yeah, he looks older in that movie than he does now.
Yeah, what was he? He was probably like 22 then, too.
Yeah, like mid-20s, and he looked at least 45, which was part of his character.
Yeah. Also featuring, mentioned earlier on the show, Jon Favreau, with his giant fat face and dreadlocks.
And the young David Spade.
Yeah! Oh my god. What a great movie. I forgot what we were talking about, but PCU. Everyone go watch that. Instead of listening to some cranky old asshole that's, mad that kids these days don't worship his opinions about, what the women and the Jews ought to be up to. Go watch that movie instead. It's fun.
Yeah.
Well, man, I don't even know what this episode's going to be like, but I'm looking forward to hearing it later. Is there anything else that you want to try to get in on this one?
I just hope that on our show next week, in between now and then, some other black metal musician doesn't do something stupid, because this is getting exhausting.
I don't know. This kind of thing happens in threes, right?
Yeah, that's true. We're due for one more.
Yeah, Watain put their dick in it. So did Tacky.
Inquisition. I think we have our three, actually.
Yeah, that's our three. We're done then. Great.
We made it. Thank God.
Cool. Well, next week, we're actually going to have a guest on. We're going to talk about comic books and other fine literature. We're going to talk about punk and D-beat. And probably Rob Liefeld. I want to talk about Rob Liefeld a bit. We haven't done that enough on this show.
His giant inhuman chests.
Tiny little feats.
Have you ever watched he did, I guess not like an interview, but Stan Lee was with Rob Liefeld as he was drawing a character, and Stan Lee just roasts him the entire time?
I have not.
That's a preview for next week, then.
We're going to get into that on next week's episode. We got another couple cool episodes coming into. I don't want to tip my hand too much, though. But I promise you, listeners, they will not center on dipshit black metal dudes. Unless, of course, somebody does something really stupid, then we'll of course, have to get in on it.
Thanks for listening to another podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, at Toilet of Hell, at Joe Thrash and Kill, at 365 Days of Horror, at That's Not Metal. You can also send us emails at toiletofhellradio@gmail.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook as well, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.